Well, we announced our subject this morning for tonight as a good diet for Christians. Well, there we have it in the verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's a good diet, isn't it? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When studying the nine Beatitudes that form an introduction to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, I must confess, in studying these words, that, as it were, I not only heard Christ utter the words, but I also saw Christ in the words. Because when you look down those verses and look at each of the Beatitudes, we can see a description of the Savior. First of all, the word blessed. Blessed. Christ is blessed. Paul says in Romans 9, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen. We can add our amen to that. He's God, blessed forever. And when we consider the meaning of the word blessed that the Lord uses in each of the Beatitudes, we can have no hesitation in applying it, the word, to the Lord Jesus. You recall in our study, we have repeated and emphasized the meaning of that word blessed that we have in the Beatitudes. Repeat it 9 times. The word means the highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. That's the meaning of the word. The highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. And would that not be the experience of the Lord Jesus? Of course it would. For didn't Nehemiah say in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so Nehemiah spoke about the joy of the Lord. Christ has joy. He spoke about the Lord's joy, and surely that joy must be the highest form of happiness and joy and blessedness, because it is a divine joy, a joy, a blessedness that is untainted by sin. Neither did the Lord need anything to give him joy. You and I, in our day-to-day living, we need those things that lift our spirits and fill us with joy, not Christ. Christ didn't need anything to make him joyful. Christ didn't need anything to give him happiness or blessedness, because he had joy and blessedness and happiness in and of himself. And then you look at the Beatitudes. Look at the Beatitudes that we have listed there in verses 3 to 11. You can apply them all to Christ. Poor in spirit. Thinking back to what we said and what the Word of God said about being poor in spirit. No pride. No self-centeredness. Poor in spirit. What did we say about blessed are they that mourn? What did Isaiah tell us about Christ? Isn't he the man of sorrow? And one who is acquainted with grief. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. And how we consider those words, and there's no one who is as meek as Christ. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Always think now of those words that we preached there a few months ago. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Christ is the perfect gentleman. I think it's a lovely description of the Lord. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. You take the verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Isn't Christ merciful? You look at his public ministry alone and how he had mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And of course he did. He's merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Isn't that Christ? Isn't he pure in heart? Sure, he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners. The Lord said the devil, Satan, had nothing in him. He's without sin. Pure in heart. Christ is pure in heart. He has a pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's no greater peacemaker than Christ. Didn't he give us peace with God? Didn't he give us the peace of God? Don't we have peace through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ, the blood of Calvary? We have peace. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Didn't the Lord tell the disciples they'll be persecuted? For his name's sake. For his sake. No one was more persecuted than Christ. Don't care who it is. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Again, no one was more reviled than the Lord. That then brings us to our text. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. The Lord Jesus hungered and thirst also. He tells us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, the Lord Jesus hungered and thirsted also. Because he hungered and thirsted all the time after his Father. Always wanting to please his Father. Didn't he say in John 8 and verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Christ hungered and thirsted after his Father, that he might always do those things that pleased him. And so in each of the Beatitudes we see Christ. And here the Lord is speaking about himself. And what is he saying? He's saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to be pure in spirit. I want you to be like me. Blessed are they that mourn. I want you to be like me, meek and gentle. I want you to be like me, merciful, pure in heart. Be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker, a peacemaker. Yes, you can be like me also in being persecuted and being reviled, but just remember, if they persecute you, they persecuted me first, the Lord said. If they revile you, they reviled me. Lord wants us to be like Him. And of all the Beatitudes are found in us, in the life of the Christian, then that Christian will most certainly be Christ-like in all that he or she does. Isn't that what we want? To be like Christ. So with the Spirit's help, I want us to look this evening at this fourth beatitude. We'll just get dealing with the first point. The first point being, when you look at the words of verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There you have the picture of a healthy Christian. I want to look tonight at the healthy Christian. Lord willing, next week I want to look at the holy Christian. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's a sign of a healthy Christian. Speaking spiritually, of course. It's a sign of a holy Christian. It's a sign of a hungry Christian. Hungering after the things of God. So let us then consider tonight the healthy Christian. In the light of these words, we see from the opening two verses that the Lord Jesus was primarily addressing his disciples. Look at the words. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. The original reading is, he went up into the mountain. Evidently a mountain he'd been there before. And you go through the Gospels, especially Luke's Gospel, and you'll find again and again and again, the Lord went up into a mountain to pray. And he went up into the mountain. And we are told, and when he was set, he sat down. You recall? But the meaning of that is, the fact that he sat down to speak, to preach, to sit is the seat of authority. In the temple, the Pharisees sat down as they taught because they were in the seat of authority. And here Christ sits down and he's in the seat of authority and he speaks with authority. He sat down, mark the words, his disciples came unto him and he opened his mouth and taught them. Now there was a multitude in the mount, but the Lord was addressing primarily his disciples. He was addressing primarily his followers because we're told his disciples came unto him. I like those words. They came unto him. They were attracted to Christ. They were drawn to Christ. They came unto him. The Lord is our great attraction. Don't we want to get nearer to him? And they came unto him. And then it says, he opened his mouth and taught them. So we see. The Sermon on the Mount was primarily for his followers. They came unto him. And the person who makes their way to Christ like these disciples did, will never be disappointed. When you make your way to Christ, you'll never be disappointed. You remember Mary and Martha? The Lord entered their home there in Bethany, and the two of them served. We tend to think that only Martha served. No. Mary served as well. So the two sisters were preparing a meal for the Savior. But then Mary left Martha and came, and what did she do? She sat down at his feet. What for? To hear his word. Like the disciples, they came unto him. Mary came unto him. And she wasn't disappointed. She sat down at the feet of the Savior, and she listened to his word. She received his teaching. And then what did the Lord say? Mary hath chosen that good part. It's good to serve the Lord. It's also good to sit with the Lord. And Mary sat down, and the Lord said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall never be taken away from her. In other words, she will receive lasting blessing. Sitting with the Lord, sitting in his presence, receiving his word. Martha went on preparing a physical meal. Ah, but Mary received a spiritual meal. Just as the disciples here on the mount received a spiritual meal. Listening to the Savior, listening to his teaching. He opened his mouth and taught them. Let us then come, as the disciples did. Let us come unto Christ. As Mary did, let us come unto Christ tonight, here. And sit with Mary. And sit with the disciples. Let him teach us. Because he has this to say to us now. He has this to say, blessed are they. Again, remember the meaning of the word blessed. The highest form of joy and happiness and blessing. That's the word, the meaning of the word. And so the highest form of joy and blessing is to be found in those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what the Lord's saying. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord says they shall be filled. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. I'll be looking at those words in the coming weeks, Lord willing. But here we have the healthy Christian. And the first thing we notice regarding the healthy Christian is the healthy Christian has a healthy desire. A healthy desire. That is, a desire for righteousness. Yes, we have been given the righteousness of Christ and our justification. We have been justified by faith. The old filthy rags of our sins have been removed, and we have received the righteousness of Christ. And as the Father looks upon us tonight, he sees us as those who have never sinned. Because he sees us in Christ. And when he looks on his Son, what does he see? He sees our righteous Son. He doesn't see any sin in his Son. And we are in Christ. And we are as acceptable in God's sight. Think of this. We are as acceptable in God's sight as Jesus Christ is. And we have received his righteousness. It's a legal term. We have received his righteousness and we stand complete in Christ. But we still have to endeavor to live by the grace of God, to live a holy life. And hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst after those things which are righteous and those things which are holy, those things that are pure. That's what we're to do as believers. That's what is expected of us as believers. That's what the Lord expects of us. That's what he says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Aren't we his disciples? He's talking to us then. He's saying to you and I tonight, you're blessed when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have then, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you have first of all a healthy desire, a desire for righteousness. Now under that heading, a healthy desire, having such a desire shows, first of all, spiritual life. Spiritual life. If there is no desire for righteousness, I'll say this now, on the authority of this book, there's no spiritual life there. If a person does not have a desire for holy things, if a person does not have a desire for spiritual things, if a person does not have a desire for righteousness, then I'll tell you something. There's no life in that person. There's no spiritual life there. His soul is still as dead as the day he was born. There's no life. A dead man does not have an appetite. A dead man doesn't hunger and thirst after bread and water. And what did Paul say to Ephesians 2 verse 1? Ye were dead. Ye were dead in trespasses and sins. He's speaking about the spiritual state of the Ephesians before God saved them. You were dead. There was no spiritual life in you at all. You were dead. And then Paul goes on to say that God in mercy hath quickened us. See, he includes himself. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. The word quicken, as you would understand, means to give life. Ye are dead in trespasses and sins, but God hath quickened us. God has given us life, spiritual life. For by grace are you saved. So when spiritual life has begun in the soul, that soul begins to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I've mentioned before, when Doria and I got saved, and she was saved a year before I was, but when the both of us were saved, I remember at night, we'd say, where can we go tonight? Is there a mission on somewhere? Wonder, are there any meetings on tonight? We couldn't get enough of the preaching of the word. We couldn't get enough of the Bible. We couldn't get enough of fellowship with God's people. Why? Because there was life. spiritual life had begun in the soul. And now there was a hunger and a thirst for the Lord and His Word and holiness and righteousness and purity of life. When the natural child is born, we know that child will cry and cry and cry until it's fed. Well, the child cries. Well, you say there's life in that child. And the mum will say, that child's hungry. Because there's life there. And what did Paul say? Peter say, as newborn babes, listen, desire. There it is. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Desire. As Christians, where there's a desire, where there's a desire for righteousness, there's health there. It's a mark of a spiritually healthy Christian. If a professing Christian has no desire for holy things, there's something wrong. If a child doesn't eat, or that child's not hungry, you give a little one a bottle to feed it, and it spits it out, and it does it over and over again, what would you do? You'd take them to the doctor. Why? Because there's something wrong. There's something wrong with my child. Well, if a child of God, professing child of God, has no desire for righteousness, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. So it naturally follows, if there's no hunger or thirst for spiritual things, then there's no life there. As well as a spiritual life, there's also here a spiritual love. The Lord's talking about having a love for spiritual things, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We all, of course, have our favorite foods. We know that whenever we have time of fellowship downstairs. Some head the dessert table first. But we all have our foods that we all like. And then there are other things you say, oh, no, I don't really like that. But for the spiritual Christian, that Christian will have a love for all things spiritual. There'll be no such a thing as looking at some spiritual matter and saying, no, I don't like that. Oh, I know some folk do. Don't like the doctrine of election. They don't like it. But if you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, then you have a love for spiritual things. That's what the Lord's talking about here. Blessed are they. Happy are they. Highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, the apostle said of him, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Talking about Christ. Thou hast loved righteousness, Hebrews 1 verse 9. We want to be like Christ. Christ loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. We want to be like Him, don't we? But that's the case. We also will love righteousness and hate iniquity. Love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. Of course, the world, a carnal individual, has only a love for iniquity. 2 Timothy, words, of course, of Paul. 2 Timothy, we read in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." That's what we have today, being promoted from every direction, without natural affection. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." No life, you say. No life. "From such turn away." Paul says, don't be like them. They have a hunger for iniquity. The Lord Jesus loves righteousness and hates iniquity, and we want to be like Him. 2 Peter 2, verse 15, "which have," again speaking of the ungodly, "which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." No, we don't want to be there. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to love the wages of unrighteousness. We want to love righteousness, as the Lord has exhorted us. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." God says you're blessed. And remember, these are the words of the dear Savior. It's the Lord Jesus who is speaking. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 7. Isaiah 26, verse 7. "The way of the just is uprightness." There you have it. "The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, doth weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Righteousness. "The way of the just is uprightness." It's God's word. This is what God, the Lord, wants us to be like. To have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. If we do, then we're healthy Christians. And there's life there. And there's spiritual love there. There's something else. Hunger, thirst after righteousness. What do you have? You have a spiritual longing. A spiritual longing. When someone hungers, that person longs for food. You know what you would say sometimes, you've been maybe working all day and you go home and you say, boy, I'm famished. I'm starving. I'm hungry. There's a longing for food. The stomach is crying out for food. There's a longing there. Well, for the spiritual man, there's a longing in his soul for righteousness. A longing, a hungering, a thirsting after righteousness. What did the psalmist say? You're familiar with the words of Psalm 42. Here the psalmist speaks about hungering and thirsting and speaks about this holy longing, the spiritual longing. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, it's all God. My soul, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There's his hunger and his thirst. There's his longing. It's a longing. You get the picture of the heart of the young deer. Maybe been hunted and hounded. It was dying of thirst. Must have water. David says, I must have God. I'm thirsting for God. I'm hungering for God. I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Have we ever experienced that longing? Have we ever experienced that hungering and thirsting after God? A hungering and thirsting after His presence? A hunger and thirster after His power in our lives, a longing to know Him in a fuller and deeper way. Must confess, when I study Christ, I've said this before, when I looked at those words of Paul, I beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and followed that through, I realized I really know very little about Christ. When you examine His life, yeah, we can read over a passage, we can read over a few verses, we see the words. But as it were, going beyond the words, and the words that speak to us of Christ and describe Him. You say, you know, Lord, I know very little about Thee. I don't really know Thee. Paul felt that way. Paul, that's right, Paul. Paul was an old man. Paul was an experienced missionary. Paul had been through many a battle for the Lord. Beaten, imprisoned, hungered. You know what Paul said near the end of his life? You know what his prayer was? That I might know him. You imagine? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him. If someone like Paul said that, where do we come in? It's easy to be saved and that's it, as it were. Well, I'm saved, that's it. But what about going on from that point of salvation and knowing God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness? So we have considered regarding the healthy Christian, considered his healthy desire. He's a healthy desire. Doesn't hunger and thirst after the things of the world, but the things of God. Righteousness. There's a healthy desire. There's something else there then. If he hungers and thirsts after righteousness, there's also a healthy delight. Since there is a hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that shows a love for righteousness, doesn't it? A love for all things spiritual and delighting in such things. So what are those things? It's the heart. The soul hungers after. What are those things? What can go under the name righteousness? Well, we can begin. There's the word of the Lord. That's what the psalmist delighted in, isn't it? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. He has a love for the word. And there we read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, his word, doth he meditate day and night. There's a healthy delight in the Word. There's a healthy delight in the Word. That's what a man will hunger and thirst after. The Word of God. And what did the psalmist say? He said, blessed is the man. Just what the Lord said. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the psalmist says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So, he can delight in the word of the Lord. That's righteousness. He can delight in the will of the Lord. That is the way of the righteous man, is it not? The way of the Lord. That's the way of the righteous man. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written, is within my heart. Thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Hungering and thirsting after the will of God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a healthy desire, and it's a healthy delight. Delighting in the Word of God, delighting in the will of God. Psalm 119, verse 35 says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. There you have it again. There's a healthy delight. That's the desire, that's the delight of the one who will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Their delight in the Word of God, their delight in the will of God. And of course, that involves the wonderful Lord, the Lord Himself. That man or woman who delights themselves in Christ has a true hunger and thirst after righteousness. And none is more blessed than they that seek Christ and delight themselves in Him. Just like the bride in the Song of Solomon. Boy, don't we love that book. It's all Christ. The bride speaking of her beloved. Who is Christ? He's our beloved. What did she say? She said, I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. Song of Solomon 2:3. I sat down under His shadow with great delight. She just delighted in being near Him. She just delighted in sitting with Him. She just delighted in being in His holy presence. It was a delight to her. I sat down under His shadow with great delight. When we desire Christ, we desire righteousness, because He is all righteousness. Psalmist says, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. As well as delighting in the Word of the Lord and in the will of the Lord and in our wonderful Lord, surely to hunger and thirst after righteousness would involve delighting and waiting upon the Lord. That is a mark of righteousness, is it not? Well, according to the prophet, it is. And ought to be always our delight to wait on the Lord, that is, to seek His face in prayer. Isaiah 58. And there we read in Isaiah 58 in the opening verses. 58. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. Mark the words. They take delight in approaching to God. They take delight in approaching to God. In other words, they take delight in prayer, in praying to the Lord. They take delight in approaching to God. It's their delight, their delight. Is that not the mark of a healthy Christian? They take delight in approaching to God. There's no better place to find righteousness than in the place of prayer. There's the Word. There's our wonderful Lord. There's God's will revealed to us. Just as the Savior said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Under this point, the healthy Christian. We've considered a healthy desire and a healthy delight. And finally, there's a healthy determination. You look what the Lord said. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." They do hunger. In other words, there's a determination there. Because of their hunger and because of their thirst, there's a determination to get the food that their soul requires, that their soul needs. I believe that the one who is hungry and thirsty will do all in their power to satisfy that hunger and thirst. Because the Lord says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Satisfied. The man who is hungry will surely cry out, "I must have food." Think of the dear souls throughout North America. They have no church to attend. There's nowhere to go where they're going to get fed, where they're going to get the Word, and there they have to sit at home. They can't find satisfaction in other places. They've tried other places. There's nothing there. They're getting stones for bread. And here the Lord says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst." Do hunger and thirst after. There's a determination. Determination to find the church that preaches the Word, where they can be led in the paths of righteousness through the Word, through prayer, through the teaching. So there you have, in our first point, picture of the healthy Christian. Lord willing, next Sabbath day we'll look at the holy Christian who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we come again to Thee. Before Thy Word, before the Scriptures, Lord, make us more like the Savior, who is all righteousness. Make us more like Him. How He hungered and thirsted after His Father to please Him. May we do the same. Hunger after our God. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. May we have that hunger and thirst. May we have that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. Not just being saved and that's it, but making progress. Going on with God, growing in grace. Bless the Word to us. Bless us tonight. Be with Mrs. Cairns and Leah as they travel to Ulster this week. Keep Thy hand upon them. And brother there in Ulster as they visit. Lord, be with us here. Come and visit this church. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now. and forevermore. Amen.